Save big on home updates at Menards. Transform your floors and walls with stylish Mohawk porcelain tile. 12 by 24 inch urban forged tiles combine a bold modern look with the timeless beauty of natural stone for a stunning result. Plus, they feature StepSure, an advanced slip-resistant technology providing safety without compromising style. Save big money on Mohawk porcelain tile. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Carbach Brewing. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go as we continue to move on with the show. Hour number two of the three-hour extravaganza we call The Usual Suspects. It's Raheel filling in for Barry. It's Nick and myself. Raheel and I are at Carbach Brewing. 2032 Carbach Street, right off of 290 and 610. Stop by and see us. We'll be here till 4. Blitz will be here till 7. On top of that, lots of things going on. The promotion team is here giving away a lot of free goodies. So we're having some fun while we're here. Come on out and see us. Checking on the text line, someone said Jalen Strong caught 3 TDs in one game. He also caught a lot of heat for all the stuff that he did off the field that got himself in a lot of trouble, not only at Arizona State, but here when after the Texans took a chance on him, and then after that even with Jacksonville. So it just didn't work out. And so when the distractions off the field are a lot more than the 3 touchdowns he caught in one game, you move on. Bye. That's just the way it goes. So don't be upset, you know. Be happy that you had a chance and it didn't work out. That's the way it goes. White Magic said, when did Kurt Lowe become unbanned? We never banned him, except for when Barry's here. Barry banned him. So when Barry's out, Kurt Lowe calls, and we have an understanding. Right, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, he just kind of calls in when Barry's not here, so it's not really a ban or a he chooses not to call when Barry's on the air, right?
Yeah, it's an understanding. They understand each other because Barry doesn't want to talk to him, so we just move on.
And that was me. The texter is correct. That 3 touchdowns. He actually had 4 touchdowns in his career, and that was my fault. I was looking at the wrong column. Braxton Miller had 2 touchdowns, so a combined 6 touchdowns career so far for those third rounders. My bad. I stand corrected.
And you still want him on your football team?
Yeah. I want Jalen Strong and Braxton Miller back right here.
Oh, boy.
How bad is that?
Terrible, man.
Did you read the Rick Smith SI update?
I did not. I heard about it, and I had heard that he had commented on the Deshaun Watson cover story to walk through the process of sitting down with him and being enamored with him and how they drafted him or traded up to draft him, but I did not know that there was more to the story.
Yeah, it's a huge story, kind of recapping like where he is right now, the health of his wife. You know, that was, of course, the reason he left as GM of the Houston Texans, and that opened the door for Brian Gain and all that good stuff and the unity, and we're all aligned. You know, those words that we heard so much with Bill O'Brien and Brian Gain. Well, SI did hey, where's Rick Smith now? You know, just 4 months later. They, you know, kind of recap everything that happened. He did address the rumors about Bill O'Brien, and he said, in fact, our relationship is fine. He didn't say it's great. It's just fine, all right? And there was so many rumors about how those two worked together and how they had different philosophies and all that stuff. So it was interesting to read it, but it felt more like a, hey, guys, remember me? I'm Rick Smith, guys. Remember me? I'm... You know, everything's good now. Just, you know, if anything ever opens up, I'm here, guys. Rick Smith. It just felt like
but
that to me.
Doesn't it feel like, I mean, he's still on payroll, isn't he? Because you know that the McNairs, he's like a family member. I just don't, I thought that the door was always going to be open and there was never going to be that cut and dried moving on moment with Rick Smith, because I always said he had a seat at the table at Christmas and Thanksgiving with the McNair family. Yeah. He was that deep.
There's no way he has a seat at the table on the football operation side of things. Maybe on the business side of things
But my question is, is he not still on the payroll being paid for his vice president position?
I believe he is. Okay. I believe he is. Unless that was also included in the I'm stepping away for right now. And look, Rick Smith admitted as much that this isn't the end of my run in football. It's just it's a comma, not a period, right? That was the big quote.
It's a pause.
It's a pause, not an abrupt ending.
Okay.
all that aside, as long as Bill O'Brien's there, I doubt that there's going to be a football seat for Rick Smith.
Yeah, I got that even before the Hard Knocks. I got that because of the fact that O'Brien, being a Belichick guy, wants his hands in the cupboard. Mm-hmm. He wants, if he's putting the meal on the table, he wants to have a say in the groceries, to use the Parcells quote. And I think that he kind of had a lot to do with picking a guy in Brian Gain, that they had a relationship, but they had an understanding in terms of how they were going to go forward. I don't think that he and Rick ever had that understanding. Yep. And I don't think that the coach liked the fact that at the end of the day, he knew how tight Rick Smith was with the McNairs. And I've seen this in sports a lot in my experiences too, where you never want a pyramid effect from the top down, where your guy that you're dealing with is the only guy talking to ownership, because they can spin things a million different ways to make them look good, blame somebody else, never be responsible, and never have to own up. And I think that from Bill O'Brien's perspective, he could see that when you look at the Texans situation and know the only guy talking to McNair and letting him know how deals went down and decisions were made was one guy, and that was Rick Smith.
And somehow Rick, you know, the guy that he brought in ended up getting another guy to replace him. Like, it all worked out for Bill O'Brien, and we'll see. And look, I wasn't a fan of that, by the way. I know, based on the 7 games that you had with Deshaun Watson, and then, you know, the points per game, and when they were on fire and the offense looked great, and rightfully so, all that good stuff. Even with that, I'm like, man, you gave this guy a 4-year extension, and you get his guy in, he better win. Like, that's a Super Bowl kind of extension.
Yeah,
Doug Peterson's extension was announced after he won the Super Bowl.
Right,
Bill O'Brien got that extension after winning how many games last year?
And remember, you're exactly right, because of the fact that when Doug Peterson got the job, Michael Lombardi and others said this might be the worst head coaching decision ever made, simply because of his lack of experience and what he brings to the table. Peterson just wrote a book and said, I will always remember that. I will stick with that, and I will remember that. That motivates me. But guess what? He earned it. And then that leads you to believe, what was the set of circumstances? What was he being judged on in Bill O'Brien to say that he has earned that kind of extension? 9-7? I mean, that's the mean. That's the average. When you look at all the good and all the bad and what Bill O'Brien's done, it measures out to 8-8, 9-7. Pretty much that's it.
It was the 7 games with Deshaun. I can guarantee it was those, because that the results you saw, like the offensive results, you go, oh, my God, we have something here. We legit have something here. But it was also the same coach, by the way, that lost to those games, the decisions of, yeah, we'll run Lamar Miller up the middle here and not get anything and not go for the win, and let our defense, who was struggling at the time and still struggled all season long, be the reason why we win or lose this game. So it was an odd decision, man, but that's what they have now, and they're united. They better win it all.
Here's what bothers me, and it's kind of along the lines of what you just said. For everything that they saw as an organization, as an ownership group, however you want to look at who's passing judgment, you're right. The sample size with Deshaun Watson showed you we got a special player. We got our franchise quarterback, and we got a guy that looks like he can work with him to utilize – and maximize his abilities. The problem that I have is when Watson went down, it became the most vanilla, white bread, predictable, conservative, boring offense, and you didn't have a backup that it could at least show different aspects to carry on parts of an offense that you had constructed with Deshaun Watson at the helm. You have to have personnel so that you don't have to have this drastic drop back and change from the time that Watson went out and the way they finished the season.
That offense resembled what that offense has been the whole time under Bill O'Brien, the offensive guru and the quarterback whisperer and all that. You know, even while Ryan Fitzpatrick and Hoyer are having career years, the offense is still putting up like 18 points a game. So even at the best, that is your offense. But when he got a hold of Deshaun and they started trusting Deshaun, and Deshaun is also like, hey, guys, here's what I like to do. Here's some things that we did at Clemson that I feel comfortable doing in the passing game, the running game here. And they started incorporating and working together, because it was a joint venture. It wasn't just Bill O'Brien like going, hey, this is what we're doing. he was very receptive to what Deshaun is good at, and Deshaun's like, here's what we did, here's how we, you know, did it, here's all that good stuff. The offense looked good. If Deshaun goes down, that's it. That's it. You're back to that.
That worries me because everybody was so enamored with Brandon Weeden against vanilla defenses and simplistic defense 101s the first couple weeks of preseason. Mm-hmm. Then you saw bad decisions in week three, and you're like, okay, here's the thing that I throw the flare up again and say the exact same thing again. Who is out there that is going to back up this team? God forbid something else happens. But say short term that Watson sprains an ankle or has some little tweak that makes him miss a week or two. It's still with a division that's this good, that's this improved, that has the Jacksonville Jaguars in it, you may need to win that game. Mm-hmm. Brandon Weeden, no one has confidence, is going to be the guy that's going to lead you to a victory in that game or two games if you need it, if Watson misses time. That's one of the things that really, really bothers me.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there, and we'll see what other cuts are made.
Maybe Brian Gain changes that. I don't know.
Robert Griffin is another name that
I've heard the Cowboys interested in trading for him.
He didn't play at all in their final preseason game.
Another shocker, too, obviously they have Flacco and Lamar Jackson, but they thought that, and early on when I watched him, too, again, it's against fluffy defenses, but he looked like he showed signs of being able to be at least a quality backup that could execute an offense with some veteran experience. I would feel better about RG3 backing up Deshaun Watson than I ever would about Brandon Weeden.
Yeah. And look, Robert Griffin's not the same Robert Griffin III that we all know, but he maybe can provide something more dynamic than Brandon Weeden, because Weeden provides nothing. To me, I get it. John loves Brandon Weeden. That's his dude, right?
Why?
You're not going to win games with him.
Because he went to Oklahoma State and he was a baseball player?
That's his buddy.
Okay. Granato loves his buddy, so I get that. But overall, man,
I would trust out of those two. If you give me a chance to replicate just a little bit, like even if it's 20% of the system that Deshaun is running, as opposed to bringing that boring vanilla system back with Brandon Weeden, I trust Webb a little bit more. Like, go ahead, give me. You're gonna lose games either way. Okay, there's no Nick Foles on this roster either way. I would take my shot with that with Webb, but. If it comes to that, then this season is over for the Texans.
Yeah, well, we'll see. And before we go to break, Nick, Woj Bomb, another one coming out. Sixers, still looking for a general manager, have been granted permission to speak to three front office executives in the NBA. Golden State's Larry Harris, which makes a lot of sense. Utah's Justin Zanuck, who used to be an agent, who I know personally is a guy on the rise that could be very good for them. And the third one, Raheel? The third one, someone we both know. Gerson Rosas, again in the mix, the Rockets VP of basketball, going to be looked at as the Sixers GM. You remember how that worked out when Dallas wanted him? He was GM for like 2 days, and then Cuban sent him back, and he ended up back with Daryl and the Rockets.
Well, what happens is the Maury GM tree. They've already tried their hand at that.
With Sam Hinkie. Yeah, so interesting to see if they try that route again. So we can talk about that. Everybody asked if we talked NBA already. We did. We've talked about some Texans, and we've got things on our mind. But if you do too, get them off your chest. 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Carbach Brewing. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, coming to you live from Carbach Brewing. 2032 Carbach Street. I'm telling you right now, it's the place to be. Football season kicked off last night. Lots of football going on. Lots of TVs to watch it. A great atmosphere here. Just a clean, upscale environment with reasonably priced beer and food. Fantastic tasting. It is a fantastic atmosphere overall, and it's a place that you want to be at to hang out. Great for happy hour. They have specials going from 3 to 6, so that's always a bonus as well. You see this Carbachterfest? Carbachterfest they're having? Tony's coming here.
That's, you know, like you look at the rest of the bands, and yeah, there's a certain, you know, there's a certain skew in terms of like what kind of music is here. Tony is the outlier here.
So it starts on the 20th with Two Tons of Steel.
Love them.
Then Los Scarnales.
Big fan.
Sure you are. Mr. Wives and Joan on the 22nd. The Dirty River Boys on the 27th. Wild Child on the 28th. And then Saturday the 29th. And they did this right. A Saturday night with Tony. Got to be off the hook, man.
Babies will be made.
Got to be lit. Then Thursday, October the 4th, the Quaker City Nighthawks. Then the Texas Gentlemen on the 5th of October. And then Jack Ingram, Bruce Robinson, and John Bowman to wrap it up. But that's a good deal, too.
Absolutely. And they've got a lot of different festivities going on in the beer garden, starting every at 5 p.m. each night, Thursday through Saturday, and 12 p.m. on Sundays. Free activities include ceremonial keg tapping of Carboktoberfest.
See, that's not exactly as easy as you think.
Live traditional German band. And then they have a stein hoisting competition for both men and women. So definitely check everything out on their website also. And, of course, you can Google it if you're on your way here, Carbock Brewing. But 2302 Carbock Street.
Aaron Wilson reporting. Two more Texans cuts. Safety, Ibrahim Campbell, and offensive lineman Mason Gentry, according to sources. What that tells me, again, is I think they're going to be looking around. I think they're going to be kicking the waiver wire.
You see Aaron Wilson's tweet. I took a screenshot of it because I knew he'd delete it.
Okay.
But nothing sums up Braxton Miller's time with the Houston Texans more than Aaron Wilson's tweet announcing the cut, and he misspelled Braxton Miller's last name, Braxton Millett. Isn't that like the perfect summarization of his time here?
Yeah.
They couldn't even like get the name right on his cut. Poor dude.
Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, I give him credit for a guy that was at one point a really highly touted college quarterback and then making the transition to wide receiver. And everything about that made sense. Had the speed, had the strength, had the knowledge of the offense coming from the quarterback position, and it just didn't work out. Now, maybe that'll work out for somebody else, but the other coup de grace on all of it was he couldn't stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting to see what the Texans do. We've been talking about the Texans' cuts. We've been telling you about those that have been released over there on Kirby. But we'll continue to update if anything else throughout the proceedings takes place.
You know, one of the weird things in the NFL is preseason. Here's why. You obviously need preseason games. You need them, right?
Right.
You need coaching staffs need them.
Yep.
The owners obviously love the extra revenue that comes with it and the fact that you can attach the preseason games to your season ticket holders and tell them you have to buy these tickets. It's a nice revenue stream, all that stuff. But three preseason games seems like a comfortable number where coaches can evaluate, players can shake the rust off, you can get your reps in addition to training camp. But then there's this fourth preseason game that, because of the fact that, hey, it's tradition, there's four preseason games, what do? It's always there. Everyone hates them, except for the owners.
Someone tweeted out last night, it's the most ridiculous farce in sports, mm-hmm, the fourth preseason game.
Yet,
they're absolutely right.
Yet it continues to happen. Even when there's CBA talks, it's never brought up like the fourth preseason game is done or we got to shorten this a little bit. Players don't like it, all right? I know certain players might like it, back end of the roster, guys that are trying to make a roster, get some tape, but you can do that in preseason game three. Coaches might like it, but at this point, if you don't have everything figured out in three games, you got to figure out the evaluation process.
Here's my compromise, because obviously when Jerry Jones says take away the preseason, add two more regular season games, that's going to water down the product anyway, because these guys are beat to hell by the end of a season.
Yeah.
And if you want guys that aren't on IR and your best players not playing when you need your biggest games of the year won, then it defeats the purpose. I'm not trying to add more revenue to the owners, but I'm going to agree with you. I've said this on sportsmap.com and also with videos I've done. I say you reduce the number of preseason games, but you increase the amount of contact you're allowed to do at training camp.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because from that perspective, from a coaching perspective, from a roster-driven perspective, you get to see more of what you need to see. Players having contact, players engaging in 7-on-7s, 11-on-11s, one-on-ones, so you can break down and evaluate talent to get the best roster that you can possibly put together. Then you still eliminate what nobody wants to see, which is trying to put a watered-down product out on the field and say, hey, come on out in full force and support our team in this preseason when the product you're watching is going to be close to the product you're watching in the regular season.
Even from a revenue standpoint, I feel like you take away that fourth preseason game, and then it's uneven, so one team might only get one preseason game versus two, and then owners start bickering like, hey, well, I'm losing out on ticket sales. You can rotate that. You don't force your season ticket holders, to pay for that fourth preseason game, you know, or every once in a while it's only one preseason game as opposed to two. You got more money in their pockets. Maybe that correlates to more spending during the regular season. I don't know. From a player standpoint, it's one that you got to start fighting for. And also from a fan standpoint and a network standpoint, what the hell does a fourth preseason game bring to the table? Like, who watches that? What
do you think about it from a network perspective?
Why would you want it?
Why would any – when you look at the dress rehearsals for the major networks that are doing it, they're still doing it for week three.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to go to week four because no one wants to see a dress rehearsal with Tony Romo and Jim Nantz, and the product on the field is nothing – anything – from Romo's perspective, trying to be objective and honest in a situation like that is going to – take so much away from the product because he has to be honest and go, this isn't really quality in any way, shape, or form in football.
Dude, I would, like, yesterday, I would have tuned in if they said, all right, the fourth preseason game is going to be flag football. That would have been more interesting than watching the normal fourth preseason game. There's nothing interesting about it. Nobody wins in that except for the owners. And that's the other thing. Like, if you're the owners, you go, all right, guys, you know what? We're getting rid of it. Yeah, we might take a hit. We might lose out on some money, but here's a concession. Here it is. Here you go, guys. Here's something. Here's something. We're going to take a proactive measure here to the players and tell you that, you know, it is a joint venture. Do you ever feel like the NFL is a joint venture between players and owners? I don't. Do you feel like the NBA is a joint venture between players and owners?
It's getting better, but it's not.
I think it is. Because of Adam Silver.
Adam Silver goes a long way, but from a player's perspective, they're never going to be happy. There's still things that they want to change. One thing we didn't mention yesterday, where they're trying to be more proactive in being open to what the players want. This year, changing the fact that the players can wear whatever shoes with whatever colors that they want. Do some things that allow them to be more expressive, kind of like the Players Weekend in baseball.
See, with NBA players, what was a big thing like 6 years ago? What the hell? These back-to-backs. This sucks. This isn't good for the product. This isn't good for us as players. And you know what the NBA did since that? They've taken measures to reduce back-to-backs. They've reduced games that you have an advantage on a back-to-back. Like, those numbers have gone down.
Way
those
down.
Actual numbers.
Correct.
Right? And that's the NBA going, here you go, players. This is a joint deal. Because when you guys aren't happy, we're not succeeding. So the NFL could, you know, maybe give up one. Like, hey, guys, we might make more money in the long run if we get rid of this fourth preseason game. And that's it. So what? We lose right now? Maybe it's a better product. Maybe you're a little bit more fresh in the regular season. Who knows? But the fact that they won't, and nobody watches it anyways, it makes no sense.
It just goes to show you, the most progressive of the big leagues is definitely the NBA, and the most backwards is the NFL, because they can't do anything in terms of consistency, past precedents on decisions that are made, and everything around it. So interesting to see how it all plays out. But, yeah, I just think that fourth – I'm with you 100%. That fourth preseason game's got to go because it's just awful and no one's watching. All right, hopefully you guys are listening, and we're going to continue to go on with the show. It is ESPN 97.5 and the Usual Suspects coming to you live from Carbach Brewing. Stop by. We're going to be here till 4. Blitz will be here till 7. Love to see you at 2032 Carbach Street. Back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink, go to culturemap.com. This is a Renters Warehouse.com roadshow, live from Carbach Brewing. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's an FEF Friday on The Usual Suspects. Barry's out. Your heel is in. We appreciate him being here yesterday and today having some fun at Carbach Brewing. If you are in the area or looking for a place to go for happy hour, 2032 Carbach Street, 290 and 610 area. Easy in, easy parking, great atmosphere, and, of course, fantastic beer and fantastic food. Appreciate you being here, my man.
Yeah, thank you for having me, man. I'm excited to be here. I like filling in. And Barry, good for him, man. The old Wichita trip. He got pulled over yesterday.
Did he?
I saw that on Twitter, that he got pulled over, and that's another little spot to fill up on the comedian bingo card.
Did he get off, or did he get a
ticket? I think he got a ticket.
You know, he got a speeding ticket, right?
I saw it on Facebook. I think he got a ticket.
Okay.
Wow.
Man, tough luck.
Got to talk your way out of that one.
Yeah. I got pulled over last week also.
Our way?
But I got a warning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because of my window tint.
Oh, you're rolling like that?
Yeah. Dude, wow. I don't need the popo trying to take pictures of me when I'm picking up my kid.
Of course. The popularity that comes with the stardom that you've attained.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is F-list celebrity status, Joel.
Okay.
No, I just had it. Like, my window tint was at a 15. It's supposed to be at a 25. And normally everyone lets you go. It doesn't matter. Even the people that I got a tint, like, I had to get it retinted, they're like, really? You got pulled over for that?
So this is serious enough to the point where you got to go and get it? Do you have to, like, show them?
No, they pulled, so they have this measure device that, you know, measures how much light gets through.
Okay.
And mine was at 15%, which is illegal. That's fine.
Okay.
Nobody ever gives you a ticket or pulls you over for that in the city of Houston, but out there in Richmond, Rosenberg, when people, you know, cops are kind of bored, I got pulled over and, you know, the officer was very polite. He goes, look, man, this is illegal. I'm putting a warning in the system so you can risk it or you can go get it retinted and not worry about it. And I said, I'll go get
that
it retinted.
Retinted's expensive?
You know, $90. But okay. Yeah. I mean, it sucks.
It's just the driver's side window, right?
Both sides. You got to get
both
driver.
Sides.
Yeah, okay. I believe it's both sides.
So you should have just risked it. It's not a big deal.
I know.
Nick would have.
Yeah, but the problem is, Nick, if you get pulled over, then you get the ticket, then you got to go do the driving course, and it just becomes a hassle. So I said, here's $90. I won't buy shoes, and I'll just get it retinted.
You could have just said, look, it came with the car. Like, this is from the manufacturer. You could have lied to him.
The problem is then my inspection guy probably gets in trouble because then they'll be like, really? Like, oh, when'd you get the car? Let me see your documents here.
You're probably right. I don't really go by rules ever.
So you know what I said? I will follow the rules, sir. Thank you. Thank you for your time. And I just did the right thing.
That's not the way we do it on this show, is it, Nick?
No, I would not. I would have rolled the dice. I would have definitely not taken off the tent. Wouldn't have cared.
Yeah. God, I miss it.
All right, we were talking last segment about changing the preseason, shortening the amount of games, things like that. Ben wants to get in here on the discussion. Ben, what's up? Yo, Ben.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
So I haven't totally thought this all the way through, but it was just the different ideas, I guess, that you were throwing out about the preseason and the regular season and what's too well with it. So like I said, I haven't thought it totally through, but I think this would be a decent compromise, at least as far as ideas go, to start, I guess, discussing it. But obviously with Jerry Jones's idea of just getting rid of the preseason and adding on two more regular seasons, that's not really plausible. But then just cutting down the preseason in general, I don't know. But, I mean, because everybody wants more, of course. And I know Joel was saying that if you just add in two more games, everybody's going to be beat up. So what if... I don't know if this would work. I don't think anybody would be upset if it just added one more week to the actual season. And so basically cut the preseason in half down to two games, and then you add in two more regular season games in place of it, and then you just have two bye weeks, one in the first half of the season and one in the second half of the season. And then all you're doing is adding in one more week of the total preseason and regular season just for that second bye week. And it seems like it would help guys recover a little bit because you're not playing 10 games in a row or something like that. You'll have one at the beginning of the end, and it's not really throwing off the timing of the season too much. So, like I said, it wasn't a completed thought, but just seeing what you guys thought about that idea.
No, appreciate you throwing out the suggestion, Ben. First thing that comes to my mind is we were talking about the Players Associations. Player Association is not going to be in favor of adding two more games with the intensity of regular season football games at the same price that they have been signing contracts for all their players with teams to. It's just not going to happen.
It would also send a message of hypocrisy from the NFL, where you're putting in new rules that you're trying to make the game safer for the players, and then you come back 3 years from now and you go, hey, by the way, yeah, we know the game's safer, but we're going to add two more games to it where, you know, there's a more likelihood that you could get more concussions, more injuries, all that stuff. And then the players go, wait, hold on. So I thought you guys were saying we're trying to make the game safer, yet you're adding two more regular season games. How about this? You just take away two preseason games, and let's make the game safer. We go all out in the games that we have. And in fact, here's another thing from the NFL side of things where you go, let's make the season one more week longer, put two bye weeks in there. And now our players are even more healthy and even more fresh, right? That would be, if it was about safety and if it was about the best product on the field, that's what you would do. That is your concession. You go, all right, we're going to miss out on some revenue. Oh, well, but in the long term, how much better is the product going to be?
It's a great point, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, the thing is and when Eric Winston was locally based and always talking about this and doing spots on radio, he was the first one to tell you, look, you know, if you're going to add regular season games, they're going to worry about the revenue and they're going to worry about the durability. They've already had a problem, the players are, when you talk about having a Sunday night game and then a Thursday night game. The turnaround time is way too quick. The body hasn't come back from all of the bumps and bruises of the Sunday game, and then they got to be expected to play and play at a certain level on a Thursday. Now you're going to add two more regular season games. One extra week of rest is not going to make up for the amount of punishment that they are taking, because it's a full body of work, right? It's not just coming back from the injuries of 2 weeks ago. It's still trying to nurse injuries from week one, week two, week four, week six, and then going, hey, you know what? I still got to be ready to finish the season strong. We're a playoff team. I got to be ready for this. Adding two more regular season games, taking the financial aspects out of it, Not one NFL player is going to say where they find a benefit in that.
Yeah.
No way.
No.
So, all right, we appreciate the call, Ben. And, again, don't be a stranger. If you want to join us like Ben did, 713-780-3776. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Raheel's here for Barry. We continue to talk about a bunch of stuff. Gotten a lot of sportsy stuff out of the way. We had the Rockets. We had the Texans. Cuts are coming down in the NFL. So lots of news of the day that we're following. Anything else off the top of your head?
Yeah, some other things. Big release day today.
Oh, that's right.
So if you're into other stuff, you've got two new albums to listen to. Support Houston's own Bun B. He was on this morning with the
great
bench with Lance Erline. I made him really uncomfortable.
How did you do it? You have a knack for that, but how did you do that?
Oh, you did. Oh man,
I didn't hear it. I didn't have to take Taylor to school today.
You know what? I'm not going to say it in a restaurant because it involves feet and smelling, so I'm not going to do it. I don't want people here to feel uncomfortable.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I made buns. So.
I think those that are listening want to know. I think that they'd be okay with if they have to wash it down with another beer. That'd be just fine.
And I got you. Podcast Arena, find the first hour of the Granato and Raheel Waddell show.
Again, Nick, that's not something we would do. We would just let it fly regardless.
Exactly.
I have respect for the people here because it was really – I was like, Bun scooted away from me. He's like, man, what is wrong with you? And that's when I knew that me
it's
and Bun.
Worse than the bathroom hand washing thing with Barry?
Yeah. You mean the fake news regarding my hand washing situation where everyone's like, oh, Raheel doesn't wash his hands. When in reality, I get hot water and I just run my hands through hot water, not soap, because it drains the actual oils off your skin when you don't need to do it. So that's me defending myself, by the way.
I award you no points.
Oh, Nick saying no.
Oh.
Veto.
Can you hit me with the bye, bye, bye? The Return of the Trill, his new album dropped today. Eminem secretly dropped. He's just like, here's a new album, guys. Kamikaze,
yeah,
that dropped.
Really incognito the way that dropped.
I love that. Love that. Hey, here's what I'm working on. Boom, here you go. Probably not the best thing for Bun because he's like, what the hell? Hey, guys, I've been promoting my album release for a while.
Right.
But Eminem dropped a new album. I've only listened to one song and.
Decent?
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. I'm not going to judge it. I got to listen to like five times and then I'll let you know.
Cool.
But that and then Ozark. Season 2. If you haven't watched it on Netflix, awesome show.
I'm pumped for that. Awesome I still show. Haven't watched it yet.
Yeah. You man, this is a perfect
time. I saw to the get whole in, first season. Binge. I haven't started the second yet.
So I'm going to watch that tonight. My wife loves that show also, so we're gonna watch that together.
I will not because my wife doesn't. So there you go. Yeah, my wife and I both we don't watch a lot of TV.
You know, it's not like
not series and shows and things. We watch news and sports. And yeah,
try that one. I think it's a show that you can really bond together as a family. It starts with the wife cheating on the husband, then the wife's lover gets thrown off a balcony. I mean, it's a beautiful show.
Oh, it's a lot of enriching moments. That,
Great. Yeah, it really strengthens your marriage.
Sounds good. Nick, I know why you're watching it. All right, we'll continue to roll on. It is the usual suspects from Carbach Brewing Company. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with much more here on ESPN 975.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Carbach Brewing. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back from Carbach, 2032 Carbach Street. It's basically 290 and 610 area. Come on by. Great place to do some happy hour. Great place to catch up with all the crew as we're here now. Raheel's in for Barry. The promo team is here with Sindel, Tosh, and Andreas, all making sure that they are staying attentive and catering to those needs of those people that want goodies, like candy and giveaways and spinning the magic wheel, et cetera, et cetera.
I'll do this. Next person that walks in and says, "What's up, Raheel? I'm going to give you a digital download for Gnomes 3. That's on me, guys.
It's really on Gal Media, but we're going to let you take credit for
it. Yeah, or you can pick the writer. The writer. I got you.
Wow, you're a generous guy.
Got you. And I'll throw in a free Butterfinger. Mini size.
Jeez, you're going all out today.
Yeah,
anything else that you want to scrap? Nick thinks I recycle. Holy cow. Okay, a couple of text messages before we move on. Someone said that they thought the caller was adding 2 weeks with one being a game and one being a bye week. Doesn't matter. As long as you're adding at regular season games, you're adding more in terms of the players to have to do for less money because essentially the contracts they signed were for a 16-game regular season. That's not going
to
fly.
You would have to renegotiate everything in the CBA.
Correct.
And then the owners would have to backtrack and say, player safety is not that important, actually, guys. It's not that important. That's why we're adding two more games. You can't do that because currently, what is it? Why do we have these new rules in place? Why do we have these new helmet rules, new hitting rules? Player safety, lawsuits. I don't want any more future lawsuits, right? That's what it is. And then you go, no, actually, we're going to have two more games. But player safety, guys, player safety. It wouldn't work. The way you adjust this is you got your normal game schedule. You got 16, right?
Yep.
You want to make it safer? Add two bye weeks. Take away two preseason games. Maybe take away one preseason game. You'd lose a little money, but how much better is your product?
And you'd show that your desire is for the betterment of all involved. The safety of the players, the longevity of the league, the quality of the product that you're not only putting on the field for the fans, but also for the viewers, because then your network deals are going to be more important, because when they are covering your games, it's going to be better football played at a higher level.
Absolutely.
So
and
you're
then
right.
Just like, and also on a human level, a lot of goodwill to the players.
Yes.
Right?
And that goes a long way, because all of this back and forth and this bickering and this locking out, it doesn't do anything to create any kind of trust or longevity for the league, because you know that the it will always be hanging over your heads, whether it's a lockout or a strike or whatever it may be, when either side feels like that they've been wronged or in a previous negotiation that they haven't been treated fairly.
Speaking of football,
yes,
you said my prizes weren't great enough. How about this?
Those are our prizes, by the way. That right there is.
You could have easily made it your prize. I made it mine. Hey, Rice, Cougars tonight, tickets tomorrow, Bayou Bucket, 11 a.m.,
early start national TV tomorrow.
Get it going. You get your game on, and then you come home, watch more games, or you come to Carbach and watch games here later on. But first person that comes up to me says, Raheel, thank you.
Why is it always about you?
Because I make it
about me. It's always about you.
Yeah. It's all about me.
Wow.
First person that says, Raheel, thank you for what you do.
Nick, we got to reshuffle in terms of our bullpen for substitution list. Fill-ins.
Yeah, you got to tell them. You got to convince listeners to say something else.
Yeah, something about the suspect.
Something about Raheel.
Bringing Nick food, something. But no, if it's Raheel being all about Raheel the whole time, we just have to look at the bullpen and go for the lefty.
And I want you to look.
He's trying to get
rid of
you,
man. Eye contact. You got to make eye contact with me, not just come up and say, Raheel, thank you. No, I want you to look me in the eyes.
Now
make an emotional connection.
Now you're getting
and
weird.
You go, Raheel, thank you.
And then they're going to fist bump, and you're going to grab their fist with an open hand. It's just getting weirder by the minute.
No, if only they were that lucky. Jeez. I only do that to people I like, Joel.
Someone said state inspection stations used to not pass cars with a legal tint. Don't know about now, so that's something that you might want to.
They still don't.
But you got by? How'd you get by, Raheel?
Let me show you, Joel. Hold on. I'm not going to say it on air. I'm just going to show you.
Okay.
Give me your hand real quickly.
No.
Give me your hand real quickly.
I see. Boom Boom says, my best friend is a window tinter, and he always is getting pulled over and ticketed for his tint, but all he does is make a work order saying the tint's been changed. Bam, ticket excused. Hit me up That's if you need a window tint, Raheel.
Yeah, I wish I would have hit him up, man. That's on me.
Yeah, Boom Boom's not happy that you've already acted without reacting to what the listeners can do for you. So make sure you notate that for next time.
Yeah, thanks, Boom Boom.
Yeah. So other than that, we keep rolling on. Texans cuts are still coming in. It's going to be interesting because the Texans were kind of quick on the draw to clear some roster spots and get rid of some people. Other teams may not be quite as quick as they have the whole weekend to kind of fight through all this mess. But it does intrigue me that the Texans may be interested in seeing what ends up on the scrap heap of other teams that they might be able to take advantage of to increase and or add to their depth at running back, wide receiver, offensive line. As you said, maybe even secondary help. But I think that based on what we saw in the preseason, there are still some holes to be filled.
Cornerback is one that, with Kevin Johnson, we'll see what happens if he's healthy for week one. But even then, Kevin Johnson's a guy that, man, it just hasn't worked out yet for him. Not a good cover guy. He's already a smaller build guy, and he hits like he's much bigger. He tries to hit like he's much bigger.
Was known for his quickness. Mm-hmm. Showed some signs early on of being a guy that was going to develop into exactly why they drafted him in the first round. But when he gets derailed by an injury, it seems like he takes a pretty big step back.
Look, your best five secondary players, of course, is Tyrann Mathieu. You got Justin Reed out there, J. Joe.
Who's longer
Kareem,
than the tooth.
Yeah, Kareem Jackson you would put out there. And, of course, the new addition of Aaron Colvin. You've got those five. You feel pretty good with those five out there. But then who's getting the next who's your next guy up? And that's where this gets a little interesting for the Texans. If the rush and the front seven, which is fantastic when healthy – this front seven, you can't deny. Like, this is going to be a really good front seven. Whitney's out there, JJ, Clowney, McKinney's looking good, Cunningham's looking good. Then you add some more pieces with Cole, excuse me. Front seven's going to be fine. And if they can provide some pressure and they can do what they do, maybe the secondary's not as big of a story.
Well, they signed Kayvon Webster. That would be fine and dandy if he's not coming off an Achilles. So you don't know what you're getting from him. You got him on the cheap, but they did give him a couple mil. So you want to see, is he ready to play? How soon can he play on the field? And can he do anything to add? Because the one thing that I'm concerned with the names that you're throwing out there is Kareem Jackson was already being rumored to be moved to safety. Mm-hmm. They know that he's kind of starting to lose a step. You know that Jonathan Joseph's getting older, and he continues to lose a step. I'm just not sure that might be your best five right now, but I think that's why you have to look at trying to improve. That's why Kayvon Webster was brought in. I don't know if they'll continue to look at other players between now and the start of the regular season.
By the way, Aaron Donald,
yeah,
new
big,
deal.
Big
we haven't brought
deal.
That up
yeah,
yet.
Go ahead and let that out.
$135 million deal, the six-year total of the deal, but the guarantee, $87
million. Yep.
Here's something. The $87 million guarantee is just $3 million short of a quarterback who got $90 million guaranteed earlier in this offseason.
Well, think about what Rodgers got.
Yeah.
You know, Rodgers just this week was 100 and some in guarantees.
Yeah.
So, yeah, again, he wanted quarterback money. It was going to be real interesting to me because that was going to set a precedent that was going to be really interesting to how the trickle-down effect would happen across the league. They didn't quite get there. But he got one hell of a deal and a lot of guarantees. The interesting thing now, as that deal comes in, is how it affects another player that's been holding out, and that's Khalil Mack. Because Khalil Mack, you best believe, has notated every single bit of what Aaron Donald did and said, hello, payday, this is what I'm looking at. We talked about next man up that's always going to get the deal. There's a deal where Khalil Mack is saying, hey, I'm ready, I'm waiting. Yeah. And if the Raiders truly are thinking about trading him, the team that's going to trade for him has to expect they're going to have to put a lot of money where their mouth is.
Yep, and that's the other thing. The Raiders are like, I don't think we, you know what? Thank you for your time here. We appreciate it. We don't feel comfortable giving you this much money. We'll get something in return. Boom.
And you know, so you see what they were asking for. Minimum of two number ones to start the discussion.
That will go down.
Jets are supposedly interested, but there are teams that are interested to try and make a move because they know the impact that he can have as a defensive player. But really going to be kind of entertaining to see how this weekend plays out, not just with cuts now, but if he is indeed traded or if the Raiders are called out on the carpet. Like, what are you going to do now? Mm-hmm. Which way are you going? And let's get, because he wants to play football. He put out a video last night that said, I miss it. I want to get back. Yeah.
And then, of course, how is this going to impact J.D. Clowney in the future? They're
good
not going to negotiate anything right now. They said we're not going to negotiate during the season. But there's something out there now. There's a little baseline. Like, hey, here's what it is. I don't think he'd make as much as Aaron Donald. I don't think they're the same kind of player, and it's not worth the same.
Right.
But there is a baseline that you got to start building upon, and we'll see what happens.
Interesting to see. So it's the after effects and the trickle down after Aaron Donald's big deal. So that'll wrap up hour number two for us. We've got an hour still to go. We're at Carbach Brewing. You should be too. 2032 Carbach Street. Come on by and see us. We'll open up the final hour in just minutes. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.